Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church. Let's go ahead and take the Word of God this morning and open to the book of Colossians. We'll be in Colossians chapter number 3. We're going to be in a passage of Scripture here this morning that is one of those intensely practical passages. And a lot of times when you're preparing a message, I like to use parables, kind of like Jesus did. I call them illustrations instead of parables. But just to kind of illustrate the topic that we're talking about, or to try to drive home a point. And sometimes when we're talking about certain subjects, we kind of, I personally struggle to think of an illustration that'll go along with the topic, but today, that is not the case in any way, shape, or form, because the topic today is one that we all struggle with from time to time, and the topic is anger. Anybody ever struggle with anger? Anyone? How many of you guys will be honest and say you've been, how many of you guys will say, I was angry at something this morning? Anyone, to be honest? We'll have you stand up and tell us about it. Donnie, you want to come up here and tell us about that? No? All right. But all of us struggle with anger. I mean, and you may call them pet peeves or whatever, but one of the things that just upsets me greatly is when you agree with someone about a time that you're going to meet, and then they show up at a different time. And it's usually not early, all right? If you want to be like Jesus, at least show up on time, because he's not going to be late, all right? You don't have to be early, but at least be on time. But how many of you guys are, you're like that person, that you're watching the clock, and when someone's 5 seconds late, you're ticked off automatically? Anybody? If it's somebody like a salesman, and you're supposed to meet at 9, and he shows up at 9:01, he's already got a strike against him. Like, I ain't going with that guy, you know what I mean? It just upsets me. I mean, there's a lot of things like that. Of course, we could talk about politics, but we're in church, so we won't do that. But we could talk about, first world problems, about how upsetting it is whenever you pull out your phone and you're trying to look something up and you have to wait for it to load. Does anyone else get upset with the speed of the internet that you have on your phone or at home? Has anyone else ever yelled at their phone before? All right. Come on! Anyone ever do that? Yell at the monitor like, are you kidding me? Some phrases that we use towards inanimate objects. It's kind of funny. But the truth is, all of us struggle with anger to some extent. I mean, even the youngest person in the room. I mean, you think about the smallest child in the room. How many of you guys have ever seen a child get angry about something? They're angry because they want food. They're angry because they want sleep. Or they're angry because they want new underwear. You know, something. It's usually one of those three things, you know. But they get angry and it comes out. It's something that all of us deal with. And sometimes it's easy because it's something that all of us deal with. We kind of treat anger as if it's an acceptable sin, as if it's something that's just part of life and we all just kind of push through it. But we forget how destructive anger really is. As a matter of fact, anger is one of those things that can just take over your body physically. For those of you that are, how many guys have ever been hunting before? For those of you that have been hunting, you know it's not hunting, it's hunting, all right? You guys been hunting before? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about when I say buck fever? Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say buck fever? Those of you that have never hunted, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you get up in a deer stand, and it's crazy cold outside, and you're ready to give up, you're freezing to death, and then a buck walks out. And there's a process that takes place in your body that you can't even understand. You can't even explain it. I mean, your heart just automatically starts beating so much you can actually feel it on the outside of your thick jacket, insulation, and everything else. You start breathing faster. As a matter of fact, a lot of guys, whenever they get a chance to shoot at their first buck, they can't even hold the arrow straight, and they're doing one of these. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You experienced buck fever before? It's something that just changes your body. And the same thing is true about anger. Anger does the same thing. So you see someone's name, someone does something that upsets you, they don't show up on time, your internet's going slow, whatever it may be, it has this almost automatic effect on our bodies. On Thursday, it's my day off, and so I was going to take my son Andrew golfing at the Learning Center over in Peoria. For those of you that don't know, it's only $5 for a kid to go, and you can golf for free, and you can golf all day if you want to for $5. And so Anyway, we were on our way there, and we had just left our house. They're building a couple of houses just right a couple of blocks away from us. And I was setting out to spend time with my boy, you know, and I'm gonna teach him some things. I'm going to train him about some things, try to speak life into him, you know. And I don't even remember what we were talking about from the moment I left my house to the first block up and then the next block down. I don't remember what I was saying, and the reason I don't remember what I was saying is because when I got to that construction site, there was a red truck parked in the middle of the road. Not only was he parked in the middle of the road, but there was someone standing in the passenger seat talking to him in the middle of the road. And you know what I had to do, Dave? I had to stop in the middle of the road. And typically, like, if I'm talking to somebody in the middle of the road, I try to show some courteousness. I try to show some courteous, that word. And I try to show that and at least go, hey, hold on a second, to the guy I'm talking to and pull over. Nothing. They didn't even look at me. The guy talking in the window just kept carrying on. And I had to stop and wait. And I'll be honest with you, I was upset. I was thinking of what I wanted to say to him as I drove by. You know, and then the whole time, it's like the Lord's going, you're a pastor, don't say anything. You know, they might be in your church. And if you're here and you drive a red truck and you were parked in the middle of the road on Thursday, God loves you. All right. But I was so upset as I was driving by, and I got all the way down to the intersection where Casey's is, right there at Route 9. And when I stopped there at the stop sign, I realized, hey, my son's in the car with me. Like, we were talking about something, and I had no recollection of what we were talking to because that quick anger just took over, and I completely forgot about what was going on around me. Anger is something that can be very destructive in our lives. It leads us to do very stupid things, say things we don't mean, do things that we end up regretting. I think a lot of us, we could say that some of our biggest regrets can be traced back to times where we were angry about something. Maybe you've tried to deal with anger and haven't had much success with it. Maybe you've noticed the impact of the shameful impact that anger has begun to have on your life, specifically on those that you love the most. Maybe you're at the point where you've realized that if you don't do something about anger, then bad things are ahead. The good news is there's hope this morning, and we see it from the Word of God because the Bible actually says a lot about this topic, and we're going to look at what it says in Colossians chapter 3. So turn to Colossians chapter 3, and verse number 5 is where we'll begin here. Colossians 3, 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Usually when we hear that mortify, nowadays it's a teenager going, I was mortified, you know, but it literally means to put to death or to kill something. So he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, we've talked about that over the last month or so because it was in the last text that we were looking at, uncleanness, which is just impure living, inordinate affection, which would be an unholy or shameful passion, evil concupiscence, which would be evil desires or evil lusts, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetous, just referring to greed here. Verse number 6, he continues and says, for those things, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. He said, all of us struggled with these at one point, but things are different now. We're in Christ. We talked about that over the last couple months. Verse 8, he says, but now, it's different. But now ye also put off all these. Now, he doesn't use the word mortify here. He says those other things need to be put to death, but these things that are found in verse number 8 need to be put off or set aside. And the sins that he's talking about here are ones that are directed towards others, and all of them kind of have to do with anger. Look what he says here, verse 8. But now put off all these. Anger. Of course, we know what anger is. It's a strong feeling of displeasure aroused by someone doing us wrong. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. These things that we see in verse number 8 are all things that take place in our mind. It's a battle that we have in our mind about those that have done us wrong. Of course, we're not talking about the people in our lives that treat us right. You know, the parent that is always seems to be there for you and always is the encourager. I'm talking about the parent that is always mean to you. The parent that doesn't seem to care. Not talking about the child that seems to do everything right, but the one that tries to do everything wrong just to get under your skin sometimes. Not talking about your neighbor that invites you over so you can have cookouts together, but the one that seems to cause the most trouble in your neighborhood. And maybe not even talking about the coworker that's, you know, helps you out when you're a bind, but the coworker that doesn't even help you out when they get paid to help you out. You know what I'm talking about? It's very easy to find ourselves in places of struggling with anger, wrath, malice, and blasphemy here. As a matter of fact, there's a saying they say about water, that water left to itself always goes to the lowest point. And the same thing is true whenever people have done us wrong. If we just allow those thoughts to just run wild and we don't bring them into the captivity of obedience to Christ, then what's going to happen is it's naturally going to go to the lowest point, which anger turns into wrath, and wrath turns into malice, and malice turns into blasphemy. Look at the things that are listed here. Wrath here is it's very similar to anger, but wrath is more like a violent anger. It's something that happens real quick. I want you to picture in your mind, because I saw this happen a few years ago when I was in Morton leaving a gas station. There was a big guy in a really small car, almost like a clown car. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you guys can kind of picture that in your head. Picture him. He's got his left hand on the steering wheel, and he's got his right hand on the passenger seat. No one's in the passenger seat. He just has to do that to be able to fit in the thing, all right? I mean, big old guy, and he's riding in that car. And I can't remember if someone cut in front of him from the left or the right, but I just remember him full of wrath, like that instantaneous. He went from laid back, just chilling, to the guy was behind him now, and he's taking that hand that was on the passenger seat, and he's showing some sign language or something. He's doing this, and you could tell there are words coming out of his mouth that I don't hear very often, you know, and he's doing this so much. He's yelling at the person. The car is doing this, shaking back and forth, and I was like, holy cow, he's going to kill him, you know, and he's just, and then when he got done, he put his hand back on the side and just went right back to chilling. It's like, that guy's crazy. Don't offend that guy, right? That's what wrath is. Wrath is that it happens quickly. You don't even think about it. It's just that natural reaction. But the next one that he lists here is what happens whenever we get angry or we have these quick reactions of wrath, of just boom, real fast anger. If we don't deal with those, if we don't bring those thoughts into the captivity of obedience to Christ, then what happens is it turns into malice. Malice is setting out to purposefully injure someone. Malice is when anger manifests itself. It's that desire for vengeance. You know, it's the difference between first-degree murder and second-degree murder. Second-degree murder is you walk in, you catch someone hurting your child, and you're just so upset, bam, you kill them on the spot just out of reaction, all right? Now, I'm not encouraging anyone to kill anyone, all right? But it just, I hear those things happen, all right? But first-degree murder would be you find someone hurting your child, you go back home, and you plan it out, you watch all the movies, get all the good ideas, you watch Forensic Files to make sure you don't get caught, you know, all that kind of thing, and then you go kill the guy. That's the difference between wrath and malice. Malice is premeditated. Its purpose is to get vengeance by rendering what we perceive as just or right. It would be getting really upset with someone, and so you wait till they park their car at night and you go slash their tires. Anybody ever slashed anyone's tires before? You're not going to raise your hand in church. You know, this is confession time, right? No, but it's trying to get even with someone like that. But here's the thing, most of us, maybe not most of us, many of us this morning would say, you know, I'm just not that kind of person. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not like that. Like, I don't get mad, I get even. You know, I'm not that person. But what we do is this next one here, it's blasphemy. Now, a lot of times when we see that word blasphemy, we automatically think of blasphemy being something that's against God. But when we look at it in this context here, he's talking about being angry and upset with another person. This word blasphemy is actually made up of two different words. The first one, blast, means to injure or hurt, like blast, right? You're blasting them. And the word theme is the same word from which we get fame. I'm gonna live forever. And that's a really old reference right there. How many of you guys remember fame? Anyone remember that? All right, good. But it's to blast, and then it has to do with fame. So you put those two words together, and it literally means speaking with the intent to wound another's reputation. Speaking with the intent to wound another's fame, if you will. It's vilifying someone. It's talking dirty about them. It's slandering them. It's gossiping. It's rumors. It's not the intent to hurt them physically. It's the intent to hurt them socially. One guy put it this way. He said this. He said, blasphemy is what happens anytime the result of our communication about someone brings them lower in the eyes of another. You know, we shouldn't say something about someone that we wouldn't say directly to their face, right? But if they've wronged us, then we're going to make sure everybody knows about it. These things are to be put off, is what it tells us in verse number 8. So it's almost like right here we could just go ahead and close our Bibles and go, all right, I understand it. Like, I shouldn't talk bad about others, and I shouldn't try to get even with others, and I can't just fly off the handle at others, and so I'm going to put off all those things. All right, let's go. Go get them, guys. And it's almost like I'm supposed to be a cheerleader up here, like, rah, rah, we're going to be nice to people. Ready, go, go. And now we're good. But the neat thing about Scripture is that whenever we talk about these kind of topics, the problem is usually not knowing what to do. The problem is knowing how to do it. Because, like we've said before, many of us have struggled with anger and have tried to get victory over it and still are having problems finding that victory. So with any passage of Scripture, the best way to understand it is to look at it in its context. And I want you to look beginning in verse number 1 to see the context of this, because he starts out in verse number 1 of chapter 3 by saying this, if ye then be risen with Christ. So before he gets to this mortify stuff and before he gets to the putting off stuff and talking about anger, he says there's a prerequisite. It's like you can't take algebra 2 unless you take algebra 1. And how many of you guys are still wondering, why do we have to take any of it in the first place? You know what I'm talking about? But there's a prerequisite, and the prerequisite is that we have to be risen with Christ. I want to give you a kind of a visual illustration this morning to help us to understand this a little bit. You guys know that the book of Genesis tells us that we were made in the image of God. And God is a triune being, tricycle, three wheels. That means that God is a triune being, a three-part being. Anybody know the three parts? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Good. You guys are paying attention. Everybody's still awake. Well, we also are triune beings, and we are made up of three parts as well. And this is not going to stick. There we go. All right, good. We, of course, the first one is what you see. That would be your physical body that you got ready for church this morning. The other part would be your body, soul, all right? Your soul would be what's right here in the middle. And your soul, just to help you understand that, your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your mind is the things you think. Your emotions are the way you feel, and your will is the things that you would like to do, all right, the things that you want to do. And so the other one, of course, is spirit, and your spirit is that which interacts with God. That's the spiritual side of you. And all of us here this morning have these things. Now, when we talk about anger, where does anger take place in these three things? It takes place in the soul. Because someone does something, you think about it, the emotions that you feel, you're upset, and then your will makes you want to get even or talk bad about them, whatever it is. So it takes place in the soul. And the Bible is telling us here in Colossians 3 that if we're going to put off anger from our soul, we have to start in verse number 1 by being risen with Christ. What he's talking about here is we have to know Christ as our Savior. In other words, what he's talking about is our spirit. We have to be risen with Christ, because when we were born, all of us are born in sin. Because of Adam and Eve, they were sinners, their kids are sinners all the way down. You don't have to teach a kid to steal cookies from the cookie jar, right? You have to teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to do those things, because it comes naturally, all right? Because the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we are born dead in our trespasses and sins. But we see in chapter 3 and verse number 1, the rest of that verse says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What happens whenever we get saved is our spirit is made alive. Because we have been made alive, because we've been saved, then we have the opportunity to be able to get victory over anger. I just want to start by explaining that there's no way that a lost person can have lasting victory over anger outside of the power of the Spirit of God. There may be short bursts of it, but the way that we have lasting victory is through the power of the Spirit of God indwelling us. And so he tells us, since we've been saved, so that's, I hope most of us would say, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I hope most of us would say we know for sure that we've been forgiven. Listen, the only way to be forgiven is not by joining Grace Baptist Church. It's not by being a good person. It's by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven, came to earth, lived in 33 and a half years, died on a cross that he didn't deserve to die on, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And the Bible says that if we'll put all of our faith in him and him alone for salvation, we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. Our spirit will be made alive. So most of us this morning would say, yes, I've been born again. Well, let's look at it here. He says, if you're risen with Christ, then if you've been saved, he says, seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse number 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So we got to get focused upward, not focused downward, but focused upward if we know Christ as our Savior. Verse number 3 continues on, and he says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, there's a couple things that happened at salvation. At salvation, our spirit was made alive. At the same time, we died to our flesh. We were crucified with Christ, if you will. And we have this new life. In another passage of scripture, it talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And so he's telling us here that we are dead with Christ and our life is hid with Christ in God. Before he tells us to mortify or put off anything, he starts with truth, because truth is what makes us free. And the truth is this, is that we are risen with Christ, and we don't have to be in bondage to anger any longer. Our part is to set our affection on things above and seeking those things which are above, as according to what it says in verse number 1. So when we do this, when we are seeking the things which are above, when we are setting our affection on things above, when we're meditating on the things of God and seeking God's direction, what we're doing is we're walking in the Spirit. What we're doing is we're seeing that we're making Christ our life. As a matter of fact, look what he says in verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You know, a lot of times, one of the ways that we struggle as believers is we have a tendency to put all of our eggs in the basket of trying to live clean and live right. And we make the focus the things found in verses 5 and verse 8. We focus on, I'm going to mortify those things, I'm going to put off all those. But before we can do those, we have to recognize that the emphasis is not on putting off anger, the emphasis is on making Christ our life. Not making Christ a Sunday morning thing or just a morning devotional thing, but throughout my day, I'm setting my affection on things above. I'm seeking Christ's direction. And what ends up happening is we have the Holy Spirit of God leading us, and this is what we would call the Christianese version, we would call it walking in the Spirit. When we're not seeking our fleshly desires, we're seeking the Spirit's leading in our lives. And I love what Galatians 5:16 says. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the way we overcome anger, just like any other sin, is very simple. My soul is the things that I think, the things that I feel, and the things that I desire to do. But the soul is nothing more than a mirror of our daily emphasis. Because when we walk according to the flesh, our bodies, when we are only seeking out what I believe the book of James calls the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When we're all about the desire to feel something, the desire to have something, or the desire to be something. When we put that focus and that emphasis on us, and we're not concerned about God's direction, then guess what kind of thoughts, feelings, and desires I'm going to have? Fleshly ones. When I'm walking according to the flesh, then my soul is going to naturally desire the things of the flesh. On the other side of it, when I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm seeking God's direction. I'm setting my affection on things above. I'm seeking God's wisdom in raising my children. I'm seeking God's wisdom in my marriage. I'm seeking God's direction in the decisions and choices that I'm making. When I'm constantly walking in the Spirit, then guess what kind of thoughts I'm going to have? Spiritual thoughts. Guess what kind of emotions I'm going to have? Spiritual emotions. Guess what kind of things I'm going to want to do? The spiritual things. Because the soul is nothing more than a mirror of the one that I'm walking in. And so the question this morning is not, hey, what do I need to do to overcome anger? Can you give me a list of things that I need to do to overcome anger? I would encourage us this morning to recognize the way to overcome anger is by feeding the spirit rather than feeding the flesh. When we find ourselves slipping and giving in to things that we know are wrong, then anger is going to be a natural byproduct of it. As a matter of fact, Galatians 5 gives the manifestations of walking in the flesh. And I believe there's 19 different things listed in Galatians chapter 5 there. So do we overcome anger by realizing the problems that anger brings? Like, do I need to write down, hey, when I'm angry, it hurts other people's feelings, and I have big regrets, and I say things that I shouldn't say, you know, that kind of stuff? That's not the way to overcome it. Do we overcome it by knowing that unholy anger is wrong, it's a sin, so I can't do it? No, that's not the way. Do we overcome it by just trying harder? Get an accountability partner and somebody that's always there encouraging me to be, you know, the nice guy. No, the way we overcome it is with truth. And I'm not going to give you 10 steps to overcome anger, you know, count to 10, sing a song, go to your happy place, you know, or anything like that. But rather understand that there's one step to overcoming anger, and that is to seek Christ. That is to live your life for Him. That is to walk with Him, to spend time in His Word, to spend time in prayer, to spend time talking about Him with others, to meditate upon the truths of who God is and who we are in light of Him. If you find someone that is actively and passionately walking with God, you will find someone that is winning the war with anger. On the other side of that, you find someone that is not walking in the Spirit, but they're walking in the flesh. They're not seeking God's direction. They're going to continue to struggle with anger. As a matter of fact, I like this statement. Unholy anger is one of the best indicators of a believer that is walking in the flesh. Now, you have to remember, I just confessed to you that on Thursday, I about lost my testimony because a guy was parked in the middle of the road, and it literally cost me about 20 seconds of having to wait for oncoming traffic to get out of the way so that I could go. And because of that 20 seconds of stalling in the middle lane or in the middle of the road, I was about to lose it. You know, so what does that say? Unholy anger is one of the best indicators of a believer walking in the flesh. I can tell you I was walking in the flesh at that moment. It was not a wise thing. But here's what we have to recognize is that whenever we see these opportunities, we have these opportunities to be offended. We have these opportunities when people just flat out do us wrong. They are incredible opportunities to either be a huge stumbling block or a massive stepping stone. They have the opportunity to trip us up in our walk with God, or they have an opportunity to build us up and to build our faith in our walk with God. Because anytime someone offends you, what does the Bible say? Jesus said, if someone smites you on one cheek, what are you supposed to do? Turn the other cheek. How many of you know that takes a little bit of faith? Because how many of you, if someone smites you on one cheek, what do you want to do to their cheek? Smite them back, right? What does the Bible say about when someone curses you? When someone curses you, we're supposed to bless them. What does Jesus say about those that persecute us? He said, bless them and curse them not. What does He say to do if your enemy's hungry? Feed him. What does He say to do if your enemy's thirsty? Give him a drink. You see, it takes incredible faith when we are tempted with anger not to stay in the flesh and react in the ways that our flesh would desire, but to see it as an opportunity to exercise faith in the one that made this promise. Romans 12, verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Maybe you've tried to overcome anger and it just hasn't worked. Maybe you've seen the shameful impact it has on those that you love. Maybe you're at the point where you know if you don't do something, bad things are ahead. I want to encourage you this morning to start living in light of the truth of who you are. And the truth is that at salvation, Christ made your spirit new, and you no longer have to live in the bondage of anger. I know there are certain people that say, well, because of the way my dad was, he was an angry guy, so I'm an angry person. Or because of my heritage, the lineage, the nationality that I am, that's what we are. We're just angry people. But the truth is that Christ trumped all of that. And in Christ, we are a new creature. Walking in anger does not bring satisfaction. Walking in the Spirit does. Anger never satisfies. Anger never satisfies. It is destructive, and that's why God tells us to step away from it. We can try to settle the score. We can try to not forgive. We can try to get even. We can blow up. We can lose it on them. We can tell them like it is. We can show them who's the boss. But in the long run, anger never satisfies. I was finishing up this message on Friday, and my wife and I have a lingering conflict. Is that what we'll call it? This is my wife. Wave so everybody knows who you are, Misty. There you go. She's raising her hand because Misty commits what I call the unpardonable sin. She borrows my credit card and doesn't give me the receipts back. How many of you guys are like, that's not a big deal? And how many of you guys say, that's not really a big deal? Anybody? How many of you guys are like, that's a huge deal? Are you still married to her? Come on. To me, it's a big deal. Old Dave Ramsey, he's a financial guy. He says, every relationship has a nerd and a free spirit. The nerd is the one who's like, I got to get all these numbers in here, you know, and get the budget right. And the free spirit's like, I don't even know how much is in the bank account. How many free spirits are out there? Every relationship has one. Nerds, where are we? There you go. Oh, yeah. Every relationship usually has one or both of those. Well, I'm the nerd, and so I'm keeping track of it. And before I left for work on Friday, she gives me a stack of receipts because I had let her borrow my credit card. Because I'm the guy that wants to get all the rewards points. You know what I mean? Because I want to use a credit card every time I can. I'm going to get all the rewards points and just rack it up. We're going cruising in January, all right, on that credit card. So if we pay it off, we don't pay any interest, all right? I get rewards points, though. And so I want to get all those rewards points, so much so that I'm willing to put my relationship on the line with my wife by allowing her to borrow that rewards credit card. So she's had it for the last too long, probably last 2 weeks. 2 weeks or so, she's been using it. She's had some things. And we had a conversation about 2 weeks ago. I said, babe, we've spent too much money. Do you remember this? All right. I said, babe, we've spent too much in the month of July. Try to get by just spending as little as possible. And so honestly, my wife does an amazing job with living with me and with the nerd. Our budget for a family of five for food is $660 a month. That's how much we spend on food. I don't know if that's high or low, but that's what she does, all right? So $660 on food. And we had already, I think, reached that. And so I get done getting this message all ready, prepped. I ran through it. I'm ready to go. I sit down and start looking at these receipts that she gave me. And all of them are within like the last week. And I start totaling them up. We spent over $1,200 on groceries in the month of July. And over $600 of that was spent in the last week. All the nerds are like, how dare she? And all the free spirits are like, I don't see the problem. I don't know if Andrew heard me or not, but I'm sitting in my desk. And I'm out loud going, you've got to be kidding me. I think I hit my desk a couple times. I'd go to the next receipt, $200 at Costco? What? You know, like, what did you buy? And I'm just like, I'm losing my mind. I'm so upset. And while I'm angry, because I'll be honest, I was angry. I wasn't walking in the Spirit, apparently. I'm angry. All these verses start running through my mind, like, Josh, come on, man, settle down. It's not that big of a deal. And like, relax, your daughter had a birthday, and a lot of that money that she spent was not just blowing money, it was spent on birthday stuff and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, but we talked about this. You know, in my mind, I'm so upset, and I've got to go home. And I went home, and I guess this was yesterday. Was this yesterday? It wasn't Friday. It was yesterday. Because I went home at noon. I went home at noon yesterday, and the kids weren't there, and there was a big part of me that was thinking, I'm going to set that woman straight. Good thing I had just prepared this message. Because when we got home, I should read the text messages that I sent her. Let's see here. You guys will like this. Okay, yeah, here we go. I sent her a screenshot of the total that we spent, $1,221.26. And I said, total spent on groceries last month. And then underneath it, it says, budget, $660. She sends me a GIF back of the Fresh Prince going, and underneath that, a smiley crying emoji. You guys think it's funny. She says, I blame your protein and meal plan. And then has the lady doing this. So your spiritual pastor says, this was another one afterwards. I said, did you take $30 out on July 20th? If so, what for? I already had the $40 withdrawal. She says, probably groceries, I think the farmer's market. And she has another smiley laughing face. And this is what I said. I'm glad one of us thinks it's funny because I'm losing my, I can't say everything that I wrote on here, all right? I said, I'm blowing a gasket. And then the next one, I said, I'm leaving now. I was so upset. And I got home and there was a huge part of me that was like, you know, let's talk about this. But I've been married for 19 years now, and I know you got to choose your battles. But more important than just worldly wisdom and choosing your battles, I knew that the Spirit of God was saying, Josh, this ain't something you need to fight about. It's not worth it. So we got home and we had a little bit of a conversation about it. And it very easily could have tipped in that direction. But thanks be to God that the Spirit of God is active in both of our hearts, and I'm thankful that we both know Christ as our Savior. And the Spirit of God was saying, nope, we're not going to do this. And because of that, we were able to joke about it today, because this could have been much different. And we've had a lot of those that went much differently. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about there? You had a few conversations about finances that went much differently? Yeah. It's because of the grace of God that allowed us to see, I'm going to set my affection on things above. How would God want me to have a conversation with my wife about blowing the budget? How would God want me to speak to my wife about these things? Now listen, I have to tell you this story because I don't always handle it rightly, okay? Usually a lot of times it's the other way. But thank God for his grace in that area. And I want to encourage you that if you're struggling with anger, the solution today is not, all right, guys, we're going to count to 10, and we're going to go to our happy place, and things are just going to be better. No, the solution is set your affection on things above. Recognize that you are made new in Christ. You're not who you used to be. And if you'll walk in the Spirit, then your thoughts about the anger, your emotions about the anger, and your desire for vengeance about the anger is going to mirror either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. And that's where the answer is. So I would encourage you this week, if you're that person that struggles with anger, and I know many of us are, I would encourage you to meditate on Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Set in your affection on things above, seeking the things above. And in doing that, I believe that God will bring us to that place where he produces in our hearts what only he can produce. The flesh can't do it, but he can. Let's pray together.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.